Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Notre Dame fans. Whenever you're listening to today's show, however you may be listening to it, podcast, YouTube, whatever it may be, really appreciate you guys tuning in to our Wednesday night Blue and Gold Notre Dame football show. Got a really fun one lined up. As always, I'm joined by Tim Hyde, my esteemed co-host here, man of many takes. Tim, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. I mean, sitting here just laughing, just planning for the show, I guess. So this is going to be fun. I feel like we're just going to be throwing spaghetti against the wall, see what sticks, and bounce off of there. So looking forward to it. So, God, what else? That's it. Let's talk football.
Folks, please hit the thumbs up on this video. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening via podcast, really appreciate you guys as well. Whenever you have that time, we always recommend coming over to the YouTube channel. And of course, for everyone, blueandgold.com is your home for all things Notre Dame football and recruiting. Tons to discuss. And I figured let's bring on Mike Goolsbee. We just had a Goolsbee show on Monday. But is there enough Mike Goolsbee content to be had? I guess not, Mike, and that's why you have your Patreon, of course, so you guys can check that out, and Goolsbee's Twitter bio. But Goolsbee, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. I wanted to get on and talk to, as you said, the man of many takes, Tim Hyde. I wanted to talk quarterbacks with Tim, so thanks for having me.
Good luck to us all.
So we are going to start there. Did you guys see the video of Notre Dame's quarterback? This is Riley Leonard. For folks watching on podcast, we'll describe it to you. Got Riley Leonard's got the little push scooter, and his right foot is in a boot, and there he's talking with Chris Mitchell, transfer receiver from FIU, and then Bo Collins, the Clemson receiver, who is not able to participate in spring ball because he's still finishing up his degree at Clemson. So that's the picture there of Riley Leonard. So Tim, we haven't heard from you on this. What's your reaction to the Riley Leonard news? I forget the exact doctor term for him. It was this plate something or the other, stress fracture or something? So what was your whole reaction to this, Tim?
Let me see. still dealing with this. What is I talked to Tyler yesterday, Horka, about it. Yeah, I thought he had three surgeries, but going back to Duke after Howard Cross, body slammed him, so to speak, and he was only in a boot at Duke for a few weeks, and then came back too early. Comes back to Notre Dame. Horka reports, poor Tyler, by the way, huh? He reports the news, and everyone attacks him because he's like, hey, he had surgery. Oh, and then everyone freaks out on poor Tyler, who's just reporting the damn news. Lo and behold, a few months later, heaven forbid they brought him back too soon, right? Didn't Notre Dame rush out that photo of him doing the weight, with the medicine ball to get that out soon to show the world that Riley Leonard is healthy and working out? And what does he do? Two or three practices and he's right back. So I have no idea. Just fascinating, right? You bring him in, the quarterback room goes for a rental 2 years in a row. And where are we, I guess? I mean, that's the big question, right? Is where the heck is Notre Dame football at the quarterback position? Because you don't have four tune-ups like Sam Hartman had last year. You get a training camp and go enjoy College Station. So that's pretty much what's going to happen. So I don't know where this goes, Mike. I mean, obviously the Freeman, well, he might be back. How the hell he's going to come back?
Yeah.
He's in surgery. He's out months. Let's be honest about this. So I look at him as a big coach looking up, you know, high above, seeing it. He basically, what did he do in winter conditioning? Did he partake somewhat in that a little bit? Now spring, he's out. What's he going to do come the summer? I'm sure we're going to have 50% of everyone saying, oh, this is overblown. And the other 50% are just going to say, oh, bench him, do away with him. But what does Freeman do? That's the only thing that really freaking matters is what does he do? So what is Riley Leonard? How is he being a quarterback of Notre Dame when he's on a scooter? He really didn't participate in winter conditioning. Let's be honest about that. He had surgery, for crying out loud, during the winter. Goolsby's been a part of that. He knows. This is when your team is built, that winter, that spring. You go in the summer, you know who's who. You go into training camp, you fine-tune it, and you get ready to go to battle game one. So,
all right. Tim, I've been seeing some Twitter reaction stuff. Like, people are like, guys, like, he's going to be okay by the opener against A&M. Like, everyone needs to calm down. It's going to be fine. And I don't think we're saying that he's not going to be healthy for the A&M game. Yeah. Fully anticipate that. But it is the fact of he just got here 2 months ago, and he's missing most of spring ball as a quarterback who, again, is brand new to this program. And we talked about this Monday night with Goolsby. Like, Hartman came here as a fairly finished product who has played so much freaking football. Leonard hasn't. He missed time last year. Like, he's had these injuries. He's missed football, missed games, and now he's already missing time at Notre Dame. That's the bigger concern here than this specific injury.
Just two quick 30-second things to go off of that is, number one, what's Riley Leonard's strength? The dude could run. He's an athlete. All right? College Station, A&M. People may think it's a train wreck. They got freaks on defense. They're stacked on defense. Bam, there's going to be 105, 110,000 people going in there. Sam Hartman, exactly. Sam Hartman showed up. If anything, I've said this 1,000 times, the coaching staff screwed Hartman up because they didn't do anything he was good at, it felt like. They just put him into the Notre Dame offense and, okay, you be 2023 Drew Pine. And it was stupid. So that's my honest opinion on that thing. With Leonard, he's played, 20 starts, I believe. So 20 starts, and we all want to talk about, well, look what he did in 2022. Duke didn't play one ranked team, not one ranked team, zero. So his stats are what they are. They didn't play anybody in the ACC. I mean, he had good numbers. His film looks good. Don't get me wrong, all that stuff. But it's 20 starts. Hartman comes. We all talk about when Hartman played Ohio State, that was his 50 freaking starts. Unbelievable in college football. So that's a lot of football. We've been hearing about Denbrock, Gaduli. Oh, they're going to mold Leonard. They're going to do all this stuff all winter, all spring, all summer. How? Seriously, how? He's already played 3 years, and you really had no opportunity to change anything that he does. So it's going to be a fly-by-your-seat. I feel like when training camp comes in College Station, those guys jump on a plane to play A&M. So it's going to be interesting. Go from there.
And, Tim, that's been your biggest issue all along is like – and, again, I'm putting words in your mouth, so forgive me, but it's like, is there a plan – and if so, like, what is it in that quarterback room? So it's like as you said, it's like if Angeli's good enough, he should. Why is Leonard here? There's so many moving parts. But I think that's my biggest take. And I've listened to other people give their takes on this Riley Leonard second or third injury, third surgery. And it's like there still seems to be the general consensus that he's like your presumed starter. And then I get into the development piece to Riley Leonard. You know, I've taken to calling him an athlete playing quarterback. Yeah. And I was really looking forward to Coach Gino and Coach Denbrock really getting their hands on him and improving the quarterback play, the specifics to the position. Again, how do you do that, Tim? How do you improve? I've heard people say spring ball doesn't matter. It's like, The it hell matters. It doesn't.
It matters.
The hell it doesn't. I mean, you're an old school coach, Tim, but it's like it absolutely matters.
It matters in his part because he's just coming to Notre Dame. He hasn't been here for 3 years.
Yeah, and then
Evangeli knows the ways. Minchie's in his second year. Carr's obviously learning, but at least those guys know what to do around the program and things of that nature. They've heard Freeman speak for a couple of years. Leonard's still learning all of those things. Howard Cross, hell, he hasn't even practiced half the spring. He doesn't need to. He's been here 6 years, you know, so they could give him. You keep hearing about Mills getting a rest, other guys getting rest. That's understandable, as you know, in spring ball, older guys get some rest. But for Riley Leonard, it's basically a brand new guy. You know, Hartman had so much experience. It was almost like, just don't screw it up. And it felt like, at least I thought they did at times. So,
and the other piece is like the competition narrative, Tim, and sort of the mess that Freeman finds himself in. And that's where I just sit there and go, Steve's going to continue to get better. How high is his ceiling? We'll find out. Kenny's certainly going to get better, get more confident. Same with CJ Carr. Whereas like Riley Leonard doesn't have the opportunity to improve this spring, like whatsoever. So then everybody behind you is getting better. And then this competition thing, I'm just fascinated. I wish we could press that fast forward button and get to fall camp and be like, what's the depth chart look like? Because if Riley Leonard rolls out like day one of training camp and he's under center with the ones, if I'm Steve and Kenny, like I got a huge problem with that.
Oh man, that's one of my notes I got right here. Little bullet points. Like when you're that quarterback and you're doing all the reps, you're doing all the things, especially Steve Angeli. I mean, whether you're pro Angeli, you know, you don't think he is whatever. He's going into year three after all. Is that Angeli with holding a Heisman back there? Is that what that is? Is Angeli holding a Heisman?
I don't know what you're talking about, Tim.
Lord. I just realized that back there. So there you go. You got Singer already prepping. But anyway, Angeli is going into year three. And I'm a football junkie. So I'm up late at night. I've been watching SC, Florida State, A&M, tons of practices. Some of their podcasts is learning about their personnel and stuff like that. And then with Lincoln Riley, Miller Moss tears it up. He's been in the system three years. And Lincoln Riley was just like, no, they said no to some transfers. They did. They could have had Will Howard, and there was other ones they were talking to. They're like, I'm going to keep Miller. He's going into year three of my system. We'll have the other guys. Angeli has the Sun Bowl, the experience. He preps all year. He's basically, I mean, Singer's brought this up, which is true. He's had every single number two rep for two straight seasons. So after two straight football seasons of getting every single number two rep, how the hell is he not prepared to be the guy? So that I go back to after the Sun Bowl, was Riley Leonard that much needed, or is it something where Freeman's just like, he's obsessed with experience, but you don't get experience unless you play. But was Riley Leonard that much needed over the other guys for 24, 25? You just keep moving forward. I don't know. It's fascinating to look at with the whole Riley Leonard thing.
He's here now.
Oh, he's here now.
And you were talking about winter workouts and all of this, and it was presented to Notre Dame Nation fandom that, okay, Riley's healthy. Here's him throwing a medicine ball on his knees, right? Yes. But then, as I told you, Tim, like, I'm watching Riley move around, and CJ Carr, no baby fat on that young man, you know, for being a true freshman. Kenny's thinned down. Steve looks great physically. I didn't think Riley looked good, man, in terms of being taught and being fit. And I'm like, okay, so then what was he actually allowed to do over the course of the winter? Because he wasn't as fit as you would assume a Division I athlete would be, just looking at his muscle tone and all of that. So I'm like, I just sit there and wonder, was he held back like during winter workouts? Because he just didn't look like an athlete that went through a winter conditioning session. It just physically, he didn't look as put together as I wanted him to.
No, there's dudes. I mean, you watch the little few minute clips Notre Dame puts out, you hunt YouTube down, you see 1,000 clips, and there's some Notre Dame dudes that just look like, yeah, they've been lifting weights.
Go back to that clip of Riley on the scooter. You see Adon Schuler in front of him. It's like, oh, dude. Adon's been working out, man. Look at that kid.
He looks like a freak, dude.
He looks scary.
Yes, he flashes on Phil. number eight is everywhere on all YouTube clips. He looks like, yeah, he looks like a dude that's ready to play some ball. So
hold on, look at him.
Yeah.
No, look at this guy. Look, that looks like, is that a defensive end? Is that Javonte Jean Baptiste? No, that's a Don Shuler.
There's one that a film Notre Dame put out, or some I watched, where he and KVA blitz, and KVA looks like a dude who's been lifting for 3 years in a college weight room. He's put together, and then Shuler safety blitz up the gut, and it's just like, yeah, that's a good looking dude.
But back to Riley and the
Let me ask you this, Goolsby. Just going back to, it's funny because Hartman, you know, was a quarterback last year, you know, he was a captain. What is Riley? He's a senior. He's a senior, this NFL pedigree type of quarterback. But how are you a quarterback if you haven't done anything really with the team? You start training camp. Dude, that is – what the hell happens? Let's just be honest. If he goes out there and he's the number one quarterback, is it just – that's just what it is. We bought him. We're going to play him. We're going to go from there. You guys, this is the situation. If he gets injured, next man in, I guess. But what's that like for the team? You know that, Mike Goolsby.
I talked about it when Hartman came in. And I, you know, of course, I got torched for that. If you remember Singer, it was like, said, like, this is the type of stuff that affects a locker room. Because whether it's Adon Shuler trying to win a starting job, whether it's whomever trying to move up the depth chart, trying to go from 3 to 2, from 2 to 1, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
Like, that's still football, like that competition piece. So, like, if you just insert a guy in the, like last year, I mean, if Hartman was being outplayed during the spring and yet he's still propped up, it's potentially messy. It's potentially problematic. And then again, how do you lead when you're on the bike, Tim?
My biggest thing with Leonard is everyone. You know, obviously he came in. He's a hell of an athlete. You watch his Duke film. The dude, he's a hell of an athlete. Let's just be honest. He willed them to beat Clemson. Clemson had fumbleitis, but he took advantage of it. He got him back against Notre Dame before the Hartman miracle at the end. You know, he played his butt off in that game. But he's about running. When things break down, I'm going to beat Tim Tebow and run the damn football. How the hell is he going to run the football when he's had multiple surgeries on the same ankle, which really, let's be honest, hasn't healed since Notre Dame.
September 30th.
So he's going to College Station and they got freakazoids. Is he really going to be 100% healthy enough just to be Riley Leonard, run around, scramble, and cause havoc?
Real quick, Singer. I'm sorry, buddy.
Go ahead.
Just going to say, because Singer's wanting to move on, Tim. I can feel it. That's 17-minute mark.
Oh, boy.
It's questions across the board. Tim, you're a coach. I've for years I've been talking about trust with a coach.
Oh yeah.
Talked about this at length on the Patreon. Like, and typically when we think of trust, it's like, okay, I have to be assignment correct, Tim, because my job's in the line. If that linebacker keeps jumping out of his gap or whatever. But like, if you're Denbrock, how do you like trust the ankle? How do you, is that something you have to take into consideration with play calling? You know, do I have to holster my offense a little bit because I'm worried about this ankle? What does that look like?
Well, that's the thing. Everyone's like, well, you know, Notre Dame 2024 is going to look like LSU 2023. First off, there's no way in hell it is. Let's just be honest. Did you see what's his name? Ran like a 4.3, the wide receiver at LSU today. So I don't think there's anyone like that, right? Goolsby at Notre Dame. So they got some freaking zoids.
I'm not going there.
I know you're not. I threw it out. I was trying to suck you in, but it's all good. But
pause.
But Daniels could break down, and I always – it's like that Florida play. Everyone that saw Jaden Daniels, that remember when he scrambled? He runs 90 yards, just outruns everyone at Florida for 90-yard touchdown. I don't think Leonard could do that, or is he willing to? It's and you know, off injuries, it's always a mindset as well, so – is he going to be willing to cut, run? I don't know, man. It's wild.
It's a big deal. At the end of the day, it's a big deal. It's a high dollar quarterback you brought in here to kind of kick that can down the road, Tim. We're going to see what we got. You know, we're going to keep. We'll just wait and see. We're going to keep that wait and see mode with the quarterback room. We'll bring in a transfer. Now you don't have him. He won't practice during spring, and then it's like, and then the whole competition piece. Keeping everybody happy in that room. It's very complex, and it's a lot for Coach Freeman to deal with in a year three, dude. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Let me jump in here. If Riley, knock on wood, if he does not get back to full health and he's just a shell of himself, whatever the case may be, and he can't go, you got a pretty darn good quarterback back there, in my opinion, and Steve Angeli, and a situation where you guys tell me all the time how easy this schedule is. I think we would probably all agree that Angeli is a better quarterback than Drew Pine. Drew Pine went 8-2 as a starter. I think that if it's Angeli or hashtag why not Kenny, I think that Notre Dame could still rattle off a pretty nice season here, Goolsby. That's my thought.
Listen, I agree, and a pretty nice season, Singer. I'd like to be more specific in terms of a pretty nice season. What are you talking about? The weather, you know? So they should be a playoff. It should be a playoff.
It team. Should be.
Well, here's my thing. Here's my only thing, and then I'll toss it to you, Tim. Yes, the schedule is a bit soft this year. Yes, I fully believe Angeli can knock off Northern Illinois. I'm talking about playoff game, high stakes. I hear this in my sleep. High stakes, SEC athletes, live bullets. That's my concern with any quarterback that we have is can they make something happen like Tim you saw with the Jaden Daniels. And yes. I don't believe, as much as I'm rooting for Steve and love Steve, that he has the physical gifts to make some magic happen on the fly.
To which my initial thought when you guys say stuff like that is, who's the last quarterback Notre Dame did have? I mean, we're going close to two decades since Notre Dame's had that kind of quarterback. Like,
yeah, that's, you know, that's
exactly.
That's why Notre Dame loses 3, 4, 5 games majority of the time. I mean, yes.
That's why we've had 20 years of pretty nice seasons.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of Gator Bowls. I get it. I get it. But let's not. This is the guy holding the Heisman back here. Let's not. It's not his fault. Okay. You know.
No.
Don't get him, my boy.
Steve's your number one quarterback, fellas.
So are they gonna let him throw?
That's Tim's thing. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Tim, do you not watch the Sun Bowl back to back nights, buddy?
68% of the passes in the Sun Bowl, 68. 10 yards or less.
Tim, question. If you're Denbrock, what's Denbrock looking for in that quarterback room? Now that Riley's on the shelf, what's Denbrock looking for?
A passer. No one has said this. I will say the damn thing tonight. Who's Mike Denbrock spent the majority of his years with? Brian Kelly's a passer. He wants to throw the ball. The only reason why they ran the ball at the end because they had ass-kicking old linemen. That's why. So, and Ian Book, he trusts. That was just the way it was. But before that, man, you go back to Denbrock in the 14, the 15 years when he was pretty much the OC in those years. And they chucked that son of a gun all over the damn place. He goes to LSU, the same thing. He's chucking that thing all over the place. So, they want to throw. Why do you think it's all this 11 personnel talk? The hot topic today is, ooh, Jeremiah Love's playing a little wide receiver.
Save it, Tim.
But there's all these things. It's like, yeah, he wants to go 11 personnel, spread the field and throw it all over the place, just run inside zone. So it's, go for it.
All right. Let's hear from our sponsors over at Augie's Locker Room. Folks, if you are in town, you're local, whatever the case is, you find yourself in South Bend, there's one place for you to go. Well, maybe more than one. But one of the places is definitely going to be Augie's Locker Room, which has a brand new location. Check out Augie's new store, 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend, Indiana. It's just down the street from Notre Dame. Again, a new location, 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend. You could check out the Notre Dame Stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, and one-of-a-kind Rockne items. You can find exclusive Joe Montana signed items and famous sculptor Jerry McKenna's replicas of the bronze statues around the stadium. Augie gets new stuff in all the time. If he doesn't have it, he's going to go find it for you. So check him out. Again, that location is 1733 North Ironwood Drive. See the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890. AugiesLockerRoom.com. Give him a call. 574 877-633-6363. Boys, we got a few super chats. Trash said, so Mike Goolsby and Tim walk into Notre Dame Stadium. Mike becomes a great YouTube guy. Goolsby gets his helmet, and Tim finds the missing blue and gold paper. So there you go. Trash, appreciate the $5 super chat, my friend. Mike Nolan says, just don't see Steve as a guy to make plays when as Goolsby notes, things break down. We have seen Riley do that. See Duke, Clemson, and Duke, or Notre Dame, Clemson. Okay. Yeah. Leonard's good. He needs two healthy ankles for that. And right now only has one. Mike Nolan, appreciate the five. Andrew Gilmore with 10 says, we have seen prominent injured NFL prospects shut it down for their draft stock. Any concern that Ben Morrison does that? He's our Darrell Revis. Much different without him. Is Notre Dame a top 10 defense without? Andrew, really appreciate this super chat. We are going to talk about Ben Morrison in just a little bit. So please hang on. We're going to talk about him here shortly. But we're going to transition, if the guys will let me, to linebacker talk. Is there any other closing thoughts we had on quarterbacks?
I have one question for Tim.
Oh, yeah. I have something too, but go for it.
Shouldn't have
said
that. In
terms of this, I'm reading the chat over here on my phone. I'm not being rude. I'm reading the chat over here. Anything I got you guys on this big picture. Percentage-wise, Tim, pie chart, the pie chart analogy, that quarterback decision, Den Brock gray hair factor, is it 50-50 Den Brock Freeman, 30-30-30 Coach Gina? Who's got the input? Who makes the final call? Obviously Freeman, but he's such a young coach. How does that work out in terms of who makes that final decision? Freeman's going to take responsibility for it, but who actually makes the decision?
Oh, he's taking responsibility. He wants that second contract, so there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's year three. He's got he's watching film and he can see what's what. That goes back to my whole point of he's been around Steve Angeli for 2 years, so it's like, what more do you need to see? If he's, I guess he just assumes he's not the guy, but he may be forced to be the guy. It's got to be Den Brock. I mean, he's the OC. He's the guy he brought in. You know, he's got a 4-year contract, so he's not going anywhere.
So Steve has the edge on experience right now. The one game. This is why I love Tim. You know, Tim's like, yeah, nobody realizes Oregon State had 7 coaches missing from the staff.
Right? Yes.
So it's like, Steve might have that one game of experience that Freeman's going to cling on to because he loves experience so much. Yet you're telling me Den Brock might be watching Kenny sling it. And he might say to himself, why not Kenny? That could happen.
Hey, why not CJ Carr? Play the best of the best. I mean, when I see him throwing, I'm like, holy moly, throw that guy in. I mean, if all they're doing is Steven Jelly, 70% of his passes are going to be 10 yards or less, hell, why can't the freshmen do that if that's what they're going to do, right? And hit a slot fade every now and then. So, the one game experience, which was interesting because Freeman kind of said that in his press conference of, yeah, Angeli's the guy, he's got the experience. Doing what? But, you know, is Tennessee State hold that much weight? But,
Tim, sometimes you say things. I'm like, you're a football coach. I am shocked but by what the is things the that come out of your mouth. He's been there for 2 full years.
So
that's experience, Tim.
Someone's been there. Well, first off, they got a brand new OC, correct? They got a brand new OC. So
yeah, he's on his third and 3 years. Yeah.
So Steve, okay, great point. Well, let's get into this then, Mr. Mike Singer. So we are going to go experience, right? So obviously, experience trumps all. So no matter what happens this year, that Angeli's the quarterback for the next 2 years.
No one said that.
That's experience, right? If he's going to be the number two this year, that means he's always going to get the mop-up time, right? He's going to get Riley Leonard's going to come out, kick butt, his foot. No issue with his foot. We'll probably hear about all that good, you know, the buzz and the spin we'll start to hear soon. So if he comes out and kicks butt, Steve Angeli is the backup. So if experience matters, when the hell does Minchie Carr Deuce Knights coming in January? When do they get reps? When?
I don't know what you
you're saying the experience. What? But what? He handed off a little bit as a true freshman when Pine was there. They didn't even let him throw the damn football. They never let him throw the football. That always puzzled me. But anyway, they didn't even let him finish the UNLV game, for crying out loud. So I always find that.
Tim, at the end of the day, they're going to say experience, but they bring in Riley Leonard to improve the quarterback room, right? That's what they want to do. They don't think that Steve Angeli, they don't want to run out Steve Angeli right now as a starting quarterback. That's why you bring in Riley Leonard. So they talk about experience, and you guys just like really cling to that, but they're going to play the best guys at the end of the day. Like that's what they're going to do. Like they're going to play true freshmen at the receiver position over older guys who are more experienced because they're going to think they're better players. So you guys just cling to the experience thing.
They had to. I don't know so much this year. They have all older guys.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Micah Gilbert's going to play over like a Deion Colsey. I bet.
Oh, my God. That's saying a lot. That's saying a hell of a lot over Colsey. Okay. I'm going to get three snaps over him. Come on.
Singer, real quick. I don't think it's Tim and I that are clinging to experience. I think it's Coach Freeman. If you listen to what he says,
that's what I'm saying. I think that's what he says in press conferences, but I don't think that's the whole picture.
And experience. The stakes are a lot lower for a freshman wide receiver than they are somebody under center.
Okay, I get it, but we'll see. We'll see what he does next year then, because we don't think he's going to take a transfer quarterback. Right? We don't think it's going to be 4 and 5 years.
Hold on. Why wouldn't he take a transfer quarterback? I've said this before and people laugh, but why? None of these other guys are playing. Why not go get some? If you're telling me there's a transfer quarterback who's really good, 30 starts out there in the portal, Notre Dame won't look at him. So Notre Dame's going to go into – see, this is what drives me nuts. Freeman in 2025 will go with basically a rookie and Angeli, but he won't do it in 24. Makes no sense to me.
Dude, he might go with someone else. He might go with Minshew, Carr. Dude, who knows? But from what I've been told and what they're even saying in press conferences, which you have to take with a grain of salt, of course, they're saying that they're gonna kind of roll with what they got.
So Notre Dame in 2025 is going to play a first-time starting quarterback after spending the last 2 years without even doing that. But next year in year four, we will play a first-time starting quarterback. Someone tell me, how the hell is that a plan? Seriously.
So, Tim, on one hand, you're like, stop taking transfers, build from within. But now you're arguing that they shouldn't be doing like that? No.
You keep saying it's all about, if it's all about experience, but next year, in Freeman's fourth year, you're saying, because Freeman has let out the tea leaves, oh, we're not going to take a transfer quarterback. So now all of a sudden next year, the quarterback room is ready to go. Everything's ready to go. But none of those guys, because I think their first game's A&M, home opener A&M, I believe, next year. So all those guys are going to see A&M, Elko's second year, Freeman's fourth year. But none of them, what start are they going to have? A Sun Bowl against Scrubs? And maybe.
What's your point? I'm trying to understand your point.
The point is, why the hell did he have to go get Riley Leonard? That's what I don't understand. You've said Notre Dame needed a transfer quarterback, needed experience in year two and three. But year four, you don't need it all of a sudden. Next year, everything's fine. I'm saying, hell, get another transfer quarterback. If there's a better transfer quarterback out there than Carr, Knight, Angeli, Minshew, go do it. Why won't he do it?
Yeah, I think, and I've read 172 text messages from Tim the last week or so. So I could maybe try to help clarify. I think the crux of Tim's argument is like Freeman values experience for sure. That's why you go get Sam Hartman again, 28 years old, has a mortgage payment, et cetera, right? You know, You get that experience there, and it's like, okay, now we're going to get a little bit more experience in Riley Leonard. And then when the jumping off point takes place in 2025, you're going to play an inexperienced quarterback. So Tim's like, why can't we get our active, like our current roster, homegrown kids that we recruited, why can't we get them experience and get them wrapped up? Find out if Steve's the guy. Like, see, live this, fire.
Yeah.
That's because that's Tim's. And this is Tim. I said this 2 years ago with the Buckner Hartman thing. It's like, the only criteria that we know that Freeman values at the quarterback position is what? Experience. So what are those other three, four things that these kids are being critiqued and judged upon? But there's always going to be a quarterback with more experience in the portal that wants $1 million over an Angeli, over a Minchie, over a Deuce, over a Carr. There's always going to be that guy out there. So to Tim's point, why not pick up another one?
Right. What I'm saying to you guys is that it's not just experience. I think that they're going to do what you guys keep asking for. I think that's what they're going to do. So,
what's that? What do you mean? Keep doing?
I think they're going to develop from within for the next season. They got Leonard, right?
But you have how long do you develop? Just 3-4 years, and then you let the son of a gun play? It's like, when do you get on the damn field? Unless these guys are just all horrible, and just no one's willing to say that. And it's like, I mean, obviously he went to Riley Leonard. So something clicked in his head to Riley Leonard is better than the quarterbacks I have. I mean, right? That's why you take a quarterback. Riley Leonard's better than all these quarterbacks I have currently right now. But next year, all the quarterbacks he has will not be better than a transfer quarterback. We don't know that yet. That's why it's like, how the hell do you ever know what you have until you play the dudes?
Yeah, and again, remember, Tim, it was like, oh, well, so-and-so will get better watching Hartman play. It's like, okay.
You don't get better watching. I'll never buy that. That is the dumbest thing.
No,
get better watching. You don't.
So, yeah, it could get a little messy. And then with this injury thing, I mean, you might end up finding out what you have in an Angeli or a Minchie or whoever becomes second string behind. And then that's assuming that. This is not how Freeman drew it up. And I will say one thing is clear, gentlemen. The lack of fanfare for Riley Leonard has just been really something. It's just remarkable, as compared to the fanfare, the parades for Hartman. The only time we hear about Riley Leonard is injury news. And I just can't help it, but it really does seem like finally that the fan base is ready. No matter who it is, if it's hashtag why not Kenny, if it's Steve Angeli, Tim Hyde certainly is, like the fan base is ready for a homegrown product. It's like crystal clear to me anyway.
Hey, I mean, there's so much to still say. It's like, I mean, we're going to know pretty soon because obviously we've said it 1,000 times. What the hell was gained last year? Seriously, what was gained?
You kicked the can down the road, Tim.
To this year. Now you get another transfer. And, you know, someone said in the chat, it could be true. Freeman just thinks the guys he doesn't trust, as we used that word earlier, trust. But when do you start to trust somebody that's been in your program for a third year? It's just interesting. Now this guy's injured, and we'll see what happens in the summer. We'll see what happens at A&M. A&M's the Super Bowl, so the whole rest of the season breaks off of that is what happens. So We're going to see.
I'm just sitting here trying to discuss this with Tim, and I have a hard time. Like,
but what is the question, Singer? You're trying to be the middleman, nice guy, instead of I mean, what is it? It's year three. This is year freaking three for all the Notre Dame fans. They know how damn important that is, super important. And what has Freeman done to prepare for year three? Back to back transfer quarterbacks, and now one is injured. So how has anyone been prepared to take over year three? The only one that has been prepared is Steve Angeli because he got the second team reps. He got the Sun Bowl reps. And obviously he's going to get the first team reps this spring. So we're going to find out. But then you're saying, and this has been the buzz out there. Well, you know, Freeman doesn't want to take a transfer quarterback. That's why. Me, as a fan who's frustrated as hell, you're going into year four. All of a sudden, now all these quarterbacks are okay to play as rookies. Now in year four, we can play rookie quarterbacks. But you couldn't do it in your first 3 years, or first, second, and third year, excuse me.
I think a lot of this
– See, the guy says
– A lot of this consternation could be solved. Go ahead, Tim.
No. I mean, it's always – Buckner's always brought up. Pine was the quarterback. Pine went 8-2. Pine was no – hey. I'll sit here and say he was no stick in the mud. Where would Notre Dame be today? Let's just throw this out. Where would Notre Dame be today if if Pine beat out Buckner. Because Pine, why did Pine leave? Because he was pissed at Freeman for bringing in Hartman. It's like, dude, I'm out of here. I just gave you 10 freaking games, won 8 of them. I mean, it's funny, man. His stats are the same damn stats as Riley Leonard when you look at him, when you compare him, you know.
And they're better. It's
the same freaking thing. So what are they gaining? They lost the whole freaking season with Sam Hartman. I hope Notre Dame fans will be honest with themselves someday. And year two is just freaking void, man. It really feels like a giant waste. And now year three, you should be hyped up and excited. It's like, man, still trying to find my way to get there, I guess. That's just me. That's just me as a fan.
That's fair. Yeah, it's kind of a nothing burger, Tim, last year. Just a nothing sandwich.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of this consternation could be cleared up, alleviated, if it was made public or, what are the criteria? Been talking about it for over a year. What are the criteria? What are the 5-6 things that we're looking at or we're looking for in a quarterback?
Well, I mean, that's playmaking ability. I mean, the best quarterback. I mean, I always hear you. It's interesting. You always bring that up, Goolsby, but it is the best quarterback. The huddle, the check with me, the motions. It's time management, moving, all those things. You know, obviously, completion percentage, throwing to the right guy, your reads, all those things go into it. You know, I think, and those are strengths. Steve Angeli. When you watch him, you do see him. Fine little guys, boom, he knows where to go with the ball. It seems like, you know, I don't think he has the quickest release and things of that nature, but he does have a feel for the process of finding the right guy within his reads and things of that nature. So I think it's all those things. I always hear you say that. What is the criteria? It's every time I hear you say that, I just want to scream and just, it's quarterback 101. It's like, who's the best guy? Who delivers the ball the best, I guess?
Yeah, but the best is – how do you define the best? That's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, you know, execution, making the right checks, playmaking ability, accuracy. Again, it's all – there has to be more than, who's the best? Because that's all entirely subjective. Singer thinks Angeli's the best. I might tend to prefer Kenny because I think he has more talent. But what Angeli has in the execution piece – Kenny might not have that because he.
No, I think Leonard has the highest. Like, if Leonard's healthy, and he plays full slate, I think the ceiling of the team is the highest with Leonard. Fascinating conversation. Someone said this is a lot of word salad. Yeah, this just feels like a circle to me. And but why I try it? To like let here here's just it like. That there's so much here. One, they don't have to give us any damn criteria. They don't have to. I'm sure they have it. They don't have to tell us. Two, I don't like these coaches are not gods. You know, they're not all knowing. You guys are like, oh, this is subjective. Hell yeah, it's subjective. You know, Jamarcus Russell goes number one overall as a bust. Like, you know, people drafted Johnny Manziel in the first round. Like, these coaches are not that far removed from, you know, guys like me and guys like Tim and everyone in the chat. So that's another point. But Tim, we can't just say and leave it at staff wasn't ready to roll out Carr, Minshew, or Angeli, wanted to improve the room, whether that's the right decision or not, is what they did. And that next year, they're wanting to roll the dice on one of those three guys. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why that's like such a preposterous thing. That like, well, how could they possibly do that? And why wouldn't they get another transfer next year? Like, I don't know why they can't roll out a first time starter at quarterback. Like, I schools across the country do it all the time.
Exactly. Wasn't done this year for Notre Dame.
I'm getting another beer. Let's talk linebackers.
Yeah, so it wasn't done. But hold on. Guys talking in the chat were trying to say, well, Notre Dame needs a high-level quarterback. And, dude, they lost 3 freaking games last year. They've lost 7 in the last 2 years. So I don't know where this high-level quarterback is right now. So we'll find out. Everyone's assuming it's Riley Leonard. I don't think he's a high-level quarterback, but we'll roll from there.
Oh, fun times. Yeah. How about 15 minutes on the quarterback talk, Tim? There we go. 45 minutes in. We are going to skip linebackers for now. We're going to go to Jeremiah Love, Tim, with him getting some receiver reps. Now, this is something I actually heard last year, you know, when he was spelling Audric Estime and the receiver room was depleted. I had kind of heard that, like, Jeremiah Love would be interested in playing some running back, and he looks smooth at receiver. Sometimes running backs play some slot. They don't, you can tell they're a running back. If I said, hey, Lorenzo Styles transferred back, here he is, you know, like, you'd be like, oh yeah, there's number four. There's a receiver. I think Love looks really good playing some receiver. So he went through some individual drills in Wednesday's practice, and he did also just play running back too. So Tim, do you like this kind of versatile role potentially for Love? Not taking it you know, as he's going to play a ton of receiver. It was just one practice and media got to see a few parts of it, but do you like this, that you know, they're playing some, or you know, potentially having Love play some receiver?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. There was one clip where he was out the outside receiver, short motion, the stack on the slot. They did that with Kyren Williams a bunch. So, you know what I mean? Kyren Williams is a hell of a wide receiver, so I could see him being that type of a guy. When they went empty, Kyren Williams was always one of the five wide receivers all the time when they went empty. Even going back, it's funny, looking at him, it's like, think of Theo Riddick, who played running back in slot, C.J. Procise, running back in slot. So a couple guys like that, and obviously Kyren Williams comes to mind. Moving guys around, so
yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if like Kyren was getting receiver reps though. Like, so for me, it's like, all right, if you're going to get more pain, if you want to get more price in there, don't take me off the field, you know.
But when they went empty, he played wide receiver. Kyren Williams,
right? Yeah. But I'm saying I don't think Kyren worked as a receiver during practice, like with the receivers, like we just saw. Loved it. That was my point. Well,
he's playing wide receiver, so who's on the bench for Notre Dame? All these wide receivers, I keep being told how elite this wide receiver room is. So now Love's playing wide receiver. So who's on the bench? If he's playing slots, that means Great House, Faison. I'm just saying it's fascinating.
Do you need some rogue shop?
No, it's
Papa Gummy too.
No, well, you're talking about him playing a wide receiver. Well, if he's a wide receiver, who's on the bench?
That's what Tim, if he gets,
and I'm trying to, hold on. I'm trying to say Kyren did it, and you're saying, well, he didn't practice a wide receiver. No, but he played wide receiver in the game with the five wide. Who's to say that's not what they're doing with Love right now? But is Love going to play the X boundary receiver?
No.
I highly doubt that.
No. I think it's worth noting that, like, it seems notable that he's practicing with receivers. Yeah, I don't think Kyren would line up with those guys. Yeah, I just think, you know, 5-10 snaps a game would be cute. I like it. Get the playmaker the ball. Goolsby, what do you think?
Yeah, that's just it, Singer. He's a playmaker. I remember reading a tweet or something from Jeremiah Love's dad, who I think is a bit of a character, but he was talking about Jeremiah. Maybe you mentioned it, Singer, like through his recruitment, but something his dad's been talking about, like that kid can play receiver. Yeah, but I look at it as it's a playmaker. Get him the ball. Love to see it. It speaks to me about the health of Jadarian Price as well. And then beyond that, fellas, it's spring ball, man. It's all about developing. You know what I'm saying? Coach McCullough says, hey, I want you to go down there and get some reps with the wide receivers. Perfect. It's like no different than you stalk your second string tight end. You say, hey, go get some work with the O-line on the individual so he works on pass pro. It doesn't mean the guy's getting switched off as a tackle. He's just honing his craft. It's something, it's like you said, it's notable. It's something to talk about. It's the offseason. Give me a break.
I agree. It's a one day story. I feel like every time the media gets something, there's a story that comes out of it, and that's the hot topic for the day. And today was Love. So that's just my take on it. He's going to be the running back. Him and Price are going to play running back. He may flex out, motion out. It's all things that you know we've seen in the past.
I'm still working. I got to get the tinfoil hat together. My apologies, Singer.
Goolsby, can you actually remove that cord? I don't know if anyone's mentioned that to you, that cord behind your right shoulder.
You know what? You know what? The cord's staying just because.
I would leave it. I would say, seriously, so many people whine about it, dude. Leave the damn cord. If anything, start putting bows on it. highlight this on them again. Seriously, there's so many comments all the time. Start putting like little trolls, little figures on it.
People can be awful. People can just be awful. It's not like, hey, you know, you put some effort and some money into like having a, like a try to have a little studio balling on a budget down here. It's like, that court sucks. It's like, dude, whatever. What were we even talking about?
Love
is a wide receiver. Singer thinks it's awesome. He's going to change the whole world. All that stuff.
No, you were talking about the media narrative. I forget now. You threw me off with that cord comment. I had something juicy too, but no.
I mean, every practice there's something. There's always a storyline in today.
My tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Might there be some gamesmanship where it's like, okay, these coaches aren't naive. They do realize if you put your stud running back, young talent, speedster at wide receiver, the media is going to glom onto it. Can we sprinkle that? Now, that's something Coach Elko at Texas A&M's got to prepare for. You know, that's how my mind works.
I hear you.
Garth says, tell me Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price don't remind you of Tony Brooks and Ricky Waters.
Ooh, 1990, that was a good year. Those dudes could run. Yeah, I mean, that's
in Love would be Ricky Waters in that scenario, Tim.
Oh yeah. Pass receiver.
Kind of runs up right away. Yeah.
A return guy. You can see Love being a return guy. Brooks would just run the ball right down your throat, be physical, kind of like Price.
That would be nice. Garth, appreciate the super chat. Let's go to those linebackers. Reading reports from Tyler Horka and hearing from Jack Sobel, those guys at Blue and Gold, really talking about that the two inside linebacker spots with the Rover position really just being a rumor these days. Jack Kaiser, you obviously would assume that he's one of those guys. And then for the other inside linebacker spot, it seems Drake Bowen is really emerged there. Tim, that's something we talked about when I called you up earlier today. You wanted to talk about. So your reaction to that and maybe how this discussion relates to one Jalen Snead.
Yeah. Going into year three and he's kind of just, I guess, becoming a niche linebacker as Goolsby will get into here in a second. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of the buzz out of the Sun Bowl, thinking Kaiser, Bowen would be the top two guys. You know, as I've said 1,000 times, people need to quit thinking about Notre Dame as just three linebackers. They play in it twice a game, and it's freaking in the goal line. So Notre Dame is a nickel defense. They only play two backers. And that's going to probably be those two guys. It's fine. Bowen got a bunch of reps last year, you know, played on all the special teams, earned a letter as a true freshman. So good for him. And we'll roll from there. The whole Kaiser thing, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of 6 years stuff. I was hoping all three of the fifth year guys would move on, because at least for me, I would rather see Osberry, Snead, KVA, Bowen. I'd rather see those four guys on the field. But I know everyone loves Kaiser. It's his 6 year. We'll see how he does. But with him playing, that means you, because they have recruited some elite linebackers. Still got a bunch of them on the bench. Yep, they're on the bench. So, and what does Snead do going into year three? Unless he's just like, hey, I redshirted, got my reps last year, got my experience, more experience as a junior, take off as a senior, come back as a fifth-year guy if it's there. So that's kind of, I guess, how the Snead path is right now as you look at it.
I think it's still early, personally. I mean, every kid that I've ever worked with that goes on and plays in college, you touch base with them going into spring ball, Tim, and you're like, hey, buddy, just a friendly reminder, this is when you kind of make your hay, as it were. This is when you move up the depth chart. So we're 3, 4, 5 practices into spring. To me, I don't imagine we're going to get to O-line talk, but I don't think anything's set in stone. I think Jack Kaiser serves his purpose. I think Al Golden Skim, Tim, you're well-versed in this. It's very complex.
Yeah.
I think Kaiser can help, you know, kids get lined up. But to your point, Tim, yeah, there's a lot of talent behind him. Everybody wants to talk about Snead. It's a big spring for him. Again, this is what spring is kind of for, everybody, is to develop. So it's like, let's not write the kid off. He has work to do. He has a lot to learn still, you know. But I'm still optimistic, and I think it's still early.
Yeah, and he's going to play because he replaced Marist and all the you know, the dime stuff. He's going to have a role. He did last year. He had a role, especially the longer the season went on. So he's going to play. You know, I don't know if he's going to, I mean, Kaiser's coming back as a six-year guy. I don't see him coming off the field, you know, but he's not long, tall to be in that type of, you know, the length type of position, what they like when they go their dime. So
he's Sneed's different though. That first practice, they showed a clip of him going up in the air and batting a ball. I mean, they don't have anybody on that in that linebacker room that, I mean, Osbury's probably close, but he's obviously smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, Osbury moves really, really smoothly, moves really, really, really well. But I, you know, just in terms of the burst that a kid like, that's why he's a five-star.
Yeah, so he's going to play. That's a good thing. He's going to play. But yeah, it was Bowen, Kaiser are the two main backups, you know, KVA and is it Osbury Sneed combo. That's going to be interesting to see what comes out of there.
I think they're all going to play in some capacity. And yeah, again, I think Jack plays Mike on third and obvious. You bring Sneed in or something for coverage blitzing purposes to play Will. Kaiser plays Will on mixed downs, and you have a KVA or a Bowen. I think a lot of these kids are going to play like we kind of – at least early on in the season until they kind of get into the groove.
But you know, man, being a linebacker, especially a defensive coach, man, sometimes they love just their starters. And they'll, I mean, we saw it with JD and Maris, the amount of snaps those guys played the last couple of years. So if Bowen and Kaiser, you know, if they're solid, especially I'm just thinking first and second downs, you know, I don't think we'll see a lot of rotations. I think if those two guys are the true studs, those are going to be your main guys. Then their dime packages could be anybody. Hell, they only play one down guy most of the time. They always move Botello into three tech. So,
still very early. I like Drake Bowen. I think I kind of athletically, Tim, I think I kind of prefer KVA. He just seems a little. And there was a play in that bowl game where I think a back kind of ran a wheel route or something, Tim. And, you know, Drake got kind of lost for a second. Then he had to track the guy down. Yeah. And I just didn't see like a lot of long speed on that one given snap. And I think the KVA gives you a little bit more in terms of like the long speed. So that's just something to play out too. And then the other thing too, that folks, when if we get to the Ben Morrison conversation, a lot of this coaches have to keep guys happy. So it's like Ben Morrison's out. So Clarence Lewis becomes, you know, he steps up. It's like, well, they don't want Clarence Lewis to go anywhere. Yeah. So you kind of keep him happy early on in the spring, so he doesn't jump in a portal just for depth and all that. So there's a lot going on. It's still very early.
All right, let's go to Ben Morrison. So the news there, we can pull up the tweets that Notre Dame put out Tuesday morning, right at 10 a.m. By the way, this is very prepared. Junior cornerback Ben Morrison underwent successful arthroscopic surgery on his right shoulder Monday, March 25th, with Dr. Brian Radigan. Morrison is expected to return for the 2024 football season. Doesn't say the start of the season, but I'm not a doctor and don't know off the top of my head like how long this recovery is supposed to be. But Tim, when you saw this, what was your initial thoughts on it?
Get back healthy. I mean, seriously, it's like. It's just like, holy moly, man, get back healthy. Shoulder, did it happen? First thought is, okay, is this practice? Is this some sort of a cleanup happened during this? You know, what's the backstory on this? Did it happen in practice, hitting somebody and popped out and you got to go have surgery? You know, how soon does he come back? Those types of things. I mean, Goolsby knows a few more about shoulders than all of us combined. So that's what I'm curious. Is it hurt at practice? Is it more of a cleanup thing from before? But when they said, you know, what did that tweet say again? Should be back or will be back? Yeah, you know, expected to return. What does that mean?
It doesn't say
Northern Illinois, Florida State. What does that mean? But get back, man. I know everyone's hyped on this D. They're hyped on the D because of Ben Morrison. You go Lewis and Mickey as your two starting corners, to me, changes a heck of a lot.
Goals?
Yeah, the timing's very strange to, like, go 3-4 practices in, okay, now I need to get something cleaned up. But yeah, I don't have labrums in either one of my shoulders. So like I'm well versed in shoulder stuff. You can play through a lot of it. The timing's weird to me. They said he had it scoped, but like Deion Colsey had his knee scoped last year and missed the whole damn season. You know, not to say that that's the case here, but until you get more specifics, I think it's kind of irresponsible to comment. But yeah, to Tim's point, come back. If it was just a scope, I'm sure he'll be fine for fall camp. I just find the timing. I mean, you've been doing pull-ups and bench press and all kinds of shoulder crap through the winter, and it's like, well, now I need it scoped. It's a little bizarre to me. But
do you guys have Andrew had a super chat. He wants us to talk about the opting out thing. I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole myself, but I don't know if either of you guys want to.
I don't think he would opt out of a season. I mean, I don't think he would, you know, trying to win a national title.
Well, remember, I'll play along.
Yeah, I'll go play for it.
I don't see Ben Morrison doing it as a concern. It wasn't until you brought it up, Andrew Gilmore.
Yeah.
But, like, do you remember Kyle Hamilton? You know, love him to death, respect the hell out of him. I mean, he only played a handful of games his junior year. I think he sat out the last seven games because of I don't recall what the injury was. So he didn't technically opt out, but he's like, I got enough hay in the barn.
I mean, Hamilton had that side of his knee issue and things of that nature, I think, right? I think he heard it in game 7 whenever the SC, I think it was SC.
He didn't play like the second half of his
Oh, no, exactly. He still made All-American because he played enough games. It was games, I think 6 or 7, whenever SC was. And yeah, he missed the rest of the year. That I understood. Morrison, missing a top 10 pick? I don't know. I haven't studied next year's corners and things of that nature. So, you know, someone just said in the chat, numerous players have done this. Who's done this outside of the COVID year? I don't know.
Sam Hartman did it in the bowl game, dude.
That's a bowl game. I'm talking a season. But
sitting bowl out the entire game. Year. Yeah.
I don't see it happening.
No, guys did it during COVID. That was cold COVID. You know, a handful of players did it then. So, I don't know anyone who's done it since.
That's the big difference. Hamilton's happening during the season. Yes. What year was that? 21?
It was 21.
Yeah, so not making the playoff. So, yeah, I think that's kind of a big difference. This is well before the start of the season. Get back in time.
Bigger conversation, though, is like when you get some of these elite first-rounder type talent, it's like this is what potentially comes with the territory, stuff like this. And I mean, everybody's talking about the playoff, Tim. And I'm like, I can guarantee you there's going to be kids that sit out playoff games. Guaranteed. And there's tens of millions of dollars in the line. You can't even fathom it, but of course they're going to sit out. Of course. You know it. I mean, that seemed unfathomable a decade ago that somebody would even sit out a stupid bowl game. And now it's commonplace.
Because people realize, what the hell am I doing playing in this mid-tier bowl when I'm a first-round pick and getting nothing out of this? When you look back at it, it's like, holy crap, so many guys played in these things for 50 freaking years. How many other guys, you know, how many Jalen Smiths were there in the 1950s? Hell, I'm just throwing that out there, but who knows? I don't see people sitting out the playoffs. I would be blown away.
So would I, but I bet you it happens.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew mentions they were in the playoff hunt. Yeah, that was the year they lost to Cincy. That was a one loss regular season team. But yeah, they did not really have the strength of schedule to overcome that in 2021. Losing at home to Cincinnati there. Yeah, so I guess technically in the playoff hunt, but we're not making the playoff. Just one more super chat, and then we're going to hop out tonight. Garth says, Goolsby, you're my guy. I trust when it comes to linebackers. Can't Snead and Osbury play a JOK role, or do we not want to run that defense anymore?
Yeah, it's a shame. Because to your point, Tim, we got linebackers stacked on top of linebackers. It's like crabs on the deadliest catch. It's just that linebacker room was just a crab bin just full of talent. And there's only two spots available to answer the question. It's like, yeah, we've really moved away from that rover position, which JOK played, and JOK is kind of one of one in terms of like his God-given the quickness that kid possesses is stupid. Like when you watch him, especially in the NFL. So yeah, there's two spots and there's 8, 9, 10 linebackers on the roster that are vying for those two spots, which is why, again, tinfoil hat, I still think that like I see some of these kids that they recruit. You could have a package, a 3-3-5 package or something like that, which obviously Freeman's familiar with. And then can Snead play rover? He's the only kid on the roster to me that has the physical traits to do it. Now, does he have the mental piece down? That remains to be determined. Osbury to me has always been a will. I don't think he has the length, you know, to be in these that passing window, the alley, like that vertical alley, like a JOK 6'1 with crazy long arms. He's in that throwing window. Osbury's a will all day long.
Yeah, he was a true Mike at high school and he blitzed all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy good player. He's just small, man.
Yeah. He's an inside backer.
Just reading the YouTube comments, people are arguing about speed of linebackers. And I'm like, I do this for a living. I couldn't tell you.
What's the argument, Mike? What's the argument?
Kingston versus Bowen. I'm like, I don't know. Like, what did people have these 40 times memorized? Or, you know?
I'll say just Kingston knows how to move C to C gap, man. He knows how to, like, maneuver through the tunnels. He's a different dude when you watch him play.
Osbury's the same way, Tim. Go back to Osbury's high school tape, like real slick, you know.
Yeah,
and
he is. Kingston's he's freakish. I mean,
I just saw Bowen doing, and again, I'm a fan of Drake Bowen, but I saw him doing like that All-American game going. And again, this is coming from somebody that trains kids every weekend, like specifically on movement stuff. And I was watching him do a bag drill, and I'm like, either he's a little tired, maybe it was the knee brace he had on, maybe the pants are too tight, but he looked a little tight.
I was there. I saw Kingston. Kingston definitely looks, you know, more fluid, not as much weight on him. But yeah, Bowen knee brace.
And then the other thing that you see on KBA's film is if it's an outside speed option, toss play, something wide, KBA has that ability. Long strider, he just sucks in that ball carrier. And that I'm sure that running back's faster, but the combination of the angle and the long stride, it's just like he just eats up ground.
Yeah. And he's long. He's got long arms, man.
Yeah.
You watch – I mean, I'd love to know his arm. They're crazy. You know, I feel like he just engulfs running back. And he's been doing that. I mean, there's so many – look for 27 people. When you go on YouTube and you're hunting down all this film everyone puts out there, 27's in every film somewhere.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Looks good.
Can we talk about this, Tim? I love linebacker talk, right? You know, that whole slow till you know, right? You teach kids slow till you know. So I kind of teach pat, right? So you're pat, you're diagnosing, boom, you pull that trigger. Like when KBA pulls that trigger and he can slip blocks and like probably Bowen maybe a little bit more, you know, physical old school thumper-ish. But, yeah, I mean, watching KBA play high school linebacker, you can't do it a lot better, Tim. You just can't.
No. Yeah. Notre Dame's looking to sign 5 more to have 2 play. So, here you go.
Tim.
Sarah, I mean, you know, all the linebackers.
You're not wrong.
You recruit so many linebackers, and they play 2. So, well, but you make two one Viper, you make one this guy.
Exactly. They play 2 inside backers, but. One becomes a DN, yeah. One plays the they have like a term for it now. I forget it. You know Notre Dame football. They make terms new
Burn them, obviously. Burn them.
Tim, in that Aztec package that Snead's playing, what's that position called?
Oh, they have a money. I think
it is money. Money's their little Maris position. You know the Maris, but she's always out there. Roman playing. You know the gadgets.
Magnet. If it was Maris, they should have called it Magnet as opposed to Money. It's good.
All right. I think we're going to end the show there.
Well, is Maris getting drafted, Goolsby? You got a $2 bet?
I hope he does.
Okay.
I think his best football is way ahead of him. I thought he ran well. It's a shame J.D. Bertrand didn't get a chance to run. He's nursing like a foot deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hope he does, man. I hope, and, again, I – incredibly violent player, you know, physical, tons of burst. You know, it was just frustrating to watch the lack of production. And as I told you, Tim, I'm like, maybe the kid's being instructed to run into those guards. Maybe he's not supposed to get free on a blitz. I don't know. But yeah, I hope he does get drafted. And I hope, like I said, I think his best football's ahead of him. I do.
Okay. We're going to end the show right there. Folks, please hit the thumbs up on this video if you've not done so yet. Of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel here if you are new. blueandgold.com is your home for all things Notre Dame Fighting Irish football and recruiting coverage. A lot going on with the Notre Dame football team, obviously, spring ball, and then recruiting angle of things is very busy as well. So we're going to end today's show right there. Thank you guys for watching and listening. And as always, we will catch you next time.